And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. And you know what? There's a phone line open just in case you want to call. Usually, the program starts with quite a few people trying to get in, and I can't always get to them. But, I mean, if you want to call today, that's perfectly fine. And I'm kind of basing that on the number of phone calls that I've had at the office this week with people asking questions. So this is your opportunity to ask me a question about health. Okay, let me hit the ground running right here. This article that I'm going to read to you is really in response to a question that a mother asked me about her children. So just take this take all this in. This doesn't just apply to children. I promise you, if you're 89 years old, this applies to you. Okay, so very interesting study to me. I think it's very interesting. What they're doing is, in the study, they're finding out, does taking fish oil keep your teeth from falling out of your mouth or getting loose and falling out? Okay, the abstract says the more fish fatty acids, and that would be probably called omega-3 fatty acids you get from things like salmon, salmon oil, tuna fish oil, sardines, you got cod liver oil, stuff like that. Here's a study right here. If you give fish oil to mice and rats, it improves their dental health. So they found a way to add just a little bit of fish oil to the Purina rat or mouse chow. I don't really know that's the name of it. I just made that up. So, all of a sudden, their teeth and their gums become healthier. Their jawbone is stronger. You know, this is not a rocket science conversation where it's like so deep and so above our heads technically that we can't understand it. Could you imagine if you could actually keep your teeth? That is your ability to crush and to grind and to chew. Which means you're going to be able to extract more of the good nutrients that your body needs. That's the fuel that your body operates on. You've got to be able to break apart proteins and fats and carbohydrates. If you're going to liberate all those nutrients and all those minerals that your cells desperately need so they can have a chance to function properly, you really don't have to watch even the news, but there have been so many reports lately about how our soil is so deficient in nutrition. So keeping your teeth is one of those ways that you can do it. So in this particular study, and you know what? I wish they would do this to humans. I'll get to it in just a second. I wish that these markers that they measure on rats and mice when they put them under the experimental, microscope, I wish they would do all these with every single human that walked into a medical doctor's office. And so if you go today to direct care, to urgent care, if you visit the emergency room, if you go see your doctor or you have a house call, well, I wish these tests I'm fixing the list would be measured, because I think they can reveal so much about the true status of your health. A lot of the blood tests that are done, they're not really reflective of the disease process. I mean, you can get a lot of good information, and blood testing is a gold mine because it can reveal so much about what's out of balance with a person. But these tests I'm fixing to measure are just spectacular, and I'll give you, I looked up one of them I wasn't familiar with. So they noticed that when they gave rats and mice fish oil, it reduced the production of inflammatory factors. And this is what I was referring to. There is a factor that becomes elevated called prostaglandin E2. Or that's the one that helps prevent inflammation, one or the other. They also have one called prostaglandin F2A. Another one's called leukotriene B4. And the one that I wanted to look up is called platelet activating factor. So what they would do is, they would give fish oil to rats and mice, and they would measure their blood. They would draw some blood, And they would try to measure this one particular factor. It's called platelet activating factor. And depending on where those levels were, they could predict which rats and mice teeth would fall out and which ones would stay firm and rooted and attached to the jawbone. It's just amazing. Well, I wish that every time that we went to the doctor's office, they would measure what's called platelet activating factor. Because that gives you a heads up if you're headed down the road to disaster, meaning disease. And really, that's the way that we should look at this. What if you had a blood test and it said that your platelet activating factor levels were high? Well, you know what that leads to? When they're elevated, that tells me that you've got some underlying inflammation. And inflammation basically means tissues and cells and maybe glands and organ systems in the body. They are breaking down at a much faster rate than the ability of your body to keep them in good repair. Okay, so you know that when you're inflamed, disease is brewing in the human body. Another thing that they notice is allergic reactions. When platelet activating factor is quite elevated, man, that's when you're most prone to having all these allergies. So if you're the type of individual that just suffers horribly, your eyes water, your nose runs, you have all these issues with allergic responses, you just can't live in this world unless you want to go to Antarctica, which you'd freeze to death, or you want to go to Death Valley, California, there you'd burn up because it's like 140 degrees right now. I really don't know that I made that up, but it's probably 125. Yeah, but you're just trying to escape the suffering. But when platelet activating factor is elevated, oh, that's when you're going to have allergic reactions. Okay? It's also real common in rhinitis, which means if your nose is constantly running, that may be a clue in reverse that you've got something brewing in your body. But they also find that when platelet activating factor is high, you are most prone to blood clots. And of course, you're only going to get blood clots when there's underlying inflammation. Does that make sense? They also notice that when platelet activating factor is high, this is when people die of septic shock or they have an infection in their blood. It's also very common when you got problems with your pancreas. So if anybody's ever suffered from pancreatitis, but it's also really common when it comes to, you know, cancers in general. So yes, I'm really wishing that this test would be made available so every single human being could have one done, maybe once a year. I mean, don't you know, want to know if deep inside of your body, if everything's going well? Because when's the time to take action? After you develop a problem? No. You want to do it as soon as you can before symptoms really begin. So anyway, they noticed that when platelet activating factor was low, the teeth of the mice and the rats, they didn't lose them. But when it was high, they did. And what they did to correct that was, or to modify that, was just give the rats and the mice fish oil. So the researchers, when they looked at this study, they were curious whether fish oil would have the same protective effect on human teeth. Okay? Well, we're both mammals, right? I'm not comparing you with a rat. So they did a study of 55 Japanese people that were exactly the same age. Age 74. In this particular study, the researchers used a questionnaire to work out the quantities of what's called DHA and EPA. Those are called omega-3 fatty acids. They come from fish oil. So all they did was they wanted to find out how much fish oil did these 74-year-old Japanese people consume every day. And so what they divided the older people into three distinct groups called tertiles, not turtles. So the first tertile, or the 33.3% of the subjects, those are the ones that had the lowest intake of DHA and EPA. The upper tertile was going to be where they had the highest intake. And so what did they do with that information? Well, then the researchers took a step back and they assessed their teeth. And they observed, I know you're going to get this, that the people who consumed the most fish oil, they also had the highest number of their own teeth. Now, this study doesn't say it, but I bet you anything, you're going to find the highest level of every problem you can think of when you have the fewest teeth. Okay, here's the results right here. I'm looking at the graph, and they're measuring a type of a fatty acid called DHA, and that's called docosahexaenoic acid. I was looking at a label yesterday. It was for an infant or a baby formula for an 8-month-old baby, and lo and behold, it said they added DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, because the brain needs that. If your memory was not as sharp as it used to be, and there's a significant drop-off, so much that you're really concerned about your health, why wouldn't you consider something like fish oil? That's like brain food. If you want to give fuel to your brain cells so you can actually remember things, well, fish oil might be a good choice. So DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, you could get that from eating salmon. There's going to be some of it that's available in tuna, also mackerel. Out of those, mackerel's probably my least favorite, but I would not turn it down if I was hungry. Did you know that mother's breast milk is going to have a very significant amount of DHA? God knew exactly what he was doing when he designed the exact composition of mother's breast milk. He knew that the babies would need it. Now, other studies show that when a person's low in DHA, guess what they're going to have? They're going to develop macular degeneration. So just think of it this way. Fish oil might be one of the easiest ways where you could actually protect your vision and protect your eyes from developing, you know, the leading cause of blindness in North America. That's called macular degeneration. See, it escapes me. If you knew there was something very easy to do that requires almost no effort, I mean, yeah, here's the effort. You walk over to the countertop, you unscrew the lid on a bottle of fish oil capsules, and you take a few of them and swallow it with a glass of water. I mean, how much time did that take? I'll be generous and say 1 minute exactly. Maybe if you're moving very slow. Maybe if you had to walk from the far end of the house to go do it. So it doesn't really take that much effort. And you're not going to get enough DHA or fish oil if you don't take it, right? So, who out there wants to lose their vision? Well, nobody does. Did you know that also that the DHA, the docosahexaenoic acid, it's famous for causing your triglycerides to become lower? If you have a blood test done and your triglycerides are above the number 150, then you've got problems. That's untenable. It's unsustainable. You're heading toward a problem. Did you know also that fish oil has been shown to lower blood pressure? Oh, yeah. Well, a newborn baby, how can the brain develop properly without that? Another aspect that I would think of, fish oil contains sterols. That's what every woman needs, and man, in order to make hormones. So if you want to make it easier on your body to make hormones, maybe some omega-3 fatty acids are right up your alley. Now, has there ever been a time like the year 2025 where a woman's and a male's hormones are under severe attack? Oh, my goodness. I think I told you a very famous fast food restaurant. I won't mention its name, but they serve chicken. When they tested the chicken, it absolutely had the highest amount of any chicken tested to contain birth control pills. Not the pills itself, you know what I mean. They had high amounts of measurable residue that was basically hormones to prevent birth. And so, and you're probably asking, why would they give chickens birth control medications? Because what they want is they do not want energy going toward laying eggs or making eggs. They want all the energy to go toward building and developing chicken meat or breast meat. And so if a chicken's laying eggs, well, the energy's going to laying eggs. They don't want that. And so if they give birth control medications to chickens, what that does is it causes the chicken breast to grow so much bigger and larger. And that might be something to think about. And that's not something they can easily remove from the chicken. So every time that you eat the chicken nuggets or you eat the chicken sandwich from this particular restaurant I'm thinking of, I didn't tell you the name of it, but you can figure it out. You're smart. I mean, do you really want to give a young child residue of birth control pills? That's called hormone replacement therapy. I don't think that's called giving full disclosure that our chicken sandwiches contain the highest amount of hormone residue. What is that going to do to a child? Could that take like a beautiful, perfect, pure 8-year-old girl and cause her to start, you know, maybe her period only about 6 years earlier than she should? Man. Anyway, let me get back to the teeth for a second. I could get sidetracked on that. In these two charts I'm looking at, they show that people that had the most consumption of fish oil, they had the highest number of teeth. That's the only thing they're looking at on the graph, is the number of teeth that are present in the eicosapentaenoic acid group and the docosahexaenoic acid group. It's night and day. You want to lose your teeth? Well, then don't eat fish and don't consume fish oil. Seems to me to be a pretty good recipe for losing them. Now, I know a lot of dentists. They don't want you to lose your teeth. They want you to keep your teeth in great working order. Now, is that the way that we want to do health care? We only want to wait until there's a disaster and then respond to it? No, this is actually called prevention. To me, this is not alternative medicine. This is cutting-edge longevity. If you want to keep your body in good working order, and if you want to have a body that lasts and doesn't break down, you might want to consider some fish oil, because you definitely need... Oh, that was windy. I knew I heard somebody come in. Okay, so the researchers monitored their elderly subjects for 5 years, so this wasn't like a short-term study. And they found it was primarily DHA that protected the teeth, even though I can look at the study, EPA looks like it did a great job also. The researchers write that the subjects that had the lowest amount of fish oil intake were 150% more likely to lose their teeth or have, what they call periodontal events than the other subjects that had the most. If you told me that consuming salmon or tuna fish or mackerel or sardines or halibut or cod gave you a 15% chance of saving your teeth, to me that'd be worth it. But they're showing those that had the least intake of fish and fish oil, they had 150% more likelihood of losing their teeth. Now you gotta understand, in Japan, the consumption of fish oil is also very high. It says they get an average of 947 milligrams of DHA and 635 milligrams of EPA. That's a national average. Now, if you want to compare the Japanese people eating a lot of fish to Americans, we're probably going to fail every time. And so do we have an emergency in with dental problems? Oh, my goodness, yes. Anyway, if you would like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. Oh, here's one article right here. I didn't copy this one off, but, I mean, it makes perfect sense. By the way, the number here at the station, now's a good time to call, 903-589-8507, just in case you have a question or you want to make a comment. But listen to this article right here. This is from August the 3rd, 2010. I think the journal, it was published, the November-December issue of the Journal Nutrition. But here's the title of the article. Get this. Fish oil cuts hay fever in half. How about that? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, thank you very much for your call, young lady.
Yes, sir. I was calling in regards to my dad. He had an adrenal gland removed yesterday.
He did? Okay.
Yes, he had a very large tumor. And he said that he had spoke with you about it.
Yeah, I talked to him. I talked to him on a Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. He came through the surgery pretty well. They did not have to remove his kidney. But they have now started him on steroids.
Yeah. They're going to give him like hydrocortisone, something like that.
Yeah. So my question is there something that he can take instead of those steroids?
Well, okay, is he listening right now?
I don't think so.
Okay, so here's the conversation I had with him. I think this was after, I don't know, this might have been like 2 or 3 Saturdays ago, that after I did the radio show, I saw that he called and I called him back. And we talked about that. And I think one of the things that I mentioned to him, and you know what I'm telling you, I'm really trying to tell you what's in your best interest, right?
Yes, sir.
But I had the strongest recommendation to completely remove all the junk food and the refined foods from his diet to give his body a chance to heal.
Okay.
So, I mean, that does make sense, doesn't it? If you had a crisis with your health, you need to eat real food that actually is going to help rebuild tissues and give you the very best chance to make all the hormones you need. And so I'm assuming he still has his other adrenal gland. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what we want to do is we want to give the body a chance. And what that means is if we could cut out all the processed foods and all the chemicals, you know what I mean, processed junk food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would just focus on eating real food that God has made. If that ends up being homemade tuna fish salad with celery in it and stuff like that, that could be a home run for him. Then we could actually nourish his body back into much, much better working order. But there's a lot of things that will just literally wreck the blood supply to the adrenal glands and to the kidneys, and that's smoking cigarettes.
Yes, sir. And that was another question that I had. I've heard you talk about the Dyneema a lot. Is that going to be a good fit for him, or is there something else?
Well, I'm not directly answering your question with my first comment, but I will with my second. The product that I used to use that worked every single time was a product called Sulfanil. It's no longer on the market that I know of. There was an argument with the guy that designed it and the supplement manufacturer, and they had a big tiff, so he said, all right, I'll just stop selling it. But that was a product that you could use if, say, you were heavily using smokeless tobacco, you know, like Copenhagen, or, you know, you got a big wad of tobacco like Redman and you can't break the habit, or you smoke cigarettes. Well, all that stuff's highly, highly addictive.
Yes.
And this product called Sulfanil, out of all of them that I've ever used, it worked like a champ in about 14 days. It would just literally, it's called, the other name of it is called bivalent sulfur, and it used to just fill those nicotine receptor sites where it could just break the cycle of the cigarette addiction. So I know that's not fair for me to bring it up, but I just wanted you to know at one time they had a product that was non-toxic, it was safe. If you look at all the pharmaceutical drugs, what is the name of the drug they use?
Tantix or Wellbutrin.
Yeah, well, they use a bunch of them, but all of them have side effects. All of them have horrific side effects. I'm trying to think of the one that they actually prescribed to stop smoking. I think it's called Chantix. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Chantix?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, excuse me. The issue is there's like a high suicide rate among people that use the Chantix or the Chantix. So I'm going, well, that doesn't sound like a good trade. I'm going to stop smoking, but I want to take my life. Well, no, we don't want that. So my fallback plan is to use a substance called Gymnema.
Okay.
Now, what I want to do is I'm really building toward a different topic. Do you know what mitochondria are?
Yes, sir.
Okay. These are the little bitty, teeny tiny, microscopic structures inside your cells. And I realize what I'm going to tell you is going to sound far out and bizarre, but they are 100% in charge of the stress response. So you've heard before of a hormone or a chemical that your body makes called cortisol.
Yes, sir.
And so, for example, if I were to look up studies right now, is there any correlation between cortisol and panic attacks, anxiety, depression? Have you ever heard of mania before? I'm sure you have. Bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. Did I mention depression yet? But all these areas that would be under the category of mental illnesses, or maybe the brain's just not working right, they all have the same thing in common. There's just too much cortisol. And cortisol just makes you feel horrible. I mean, if there's too much of it, that's what I should have said. If you have this extraordinary expression where your body just pumps out too much of it, I mean, you're looking for any way possible to get some relief. And so I know you know where my office is, but it's right next door to a vaping tobacco shop. 99% of the people that go in there, it's just for one reason. It's because they have severe anxiety or depression, or they're hurting and they just want to feel different. And so nicotine in the kratom and probably everything else they put in there, and maybe some other stuff that shouldn't be put in there, but they do put those chemicals in there. You could just go down the list. Delta 8, 9, 10, Delta 47. I made that last one up. I really don't know about that. But they're just trying to get some relief. But the mitochondria are what are in charge of that. The only way that you can really fix the mitochondria is by giving them fuel that gives them a chance to operate optimally. And I would say protein and fat would probably be the top of my list. So like if your dad had a salmon fillet in front of him and you put a pat of butter on it and you gave him some broccoli and melted butter on top of that, and you could salt it and pepper it and season it, I'd say, man, that's a start right there. You're breaking the cycle of cortisol. But if you feed your body refined processed foods or packaged foods that have been pre-made with, you know what, I can't even tell you all the chemicals they add to food. It's just astronomical. You're asking for your mitochondria to be poisoned. The key to all mental health is fixing the mitochondria. If the brain could actually improve its metabolism, improve its brain chemistry, you could probably conquer the universe. Literally, you could say, I can't tell you how amazingly good I feel right now. I can't wait to accomplish something great. So you've got to fix the sugar, the refined foods, the chemicals. And so one of the ways of doing that, one way is called a ketogenic diet. And there are studies that demonstrate the ketogenic diets are one of the ways that you can help break addictions to whatever it is. It might even be alcohol.
Okay.
Of course, I've never had anyone in my personal family ever be on drugs or alcohol, ever. No, I'm just joking about that. It's just far too often. It's so sad, too. You could take a human being with the greatest potential and you give them drugs and alcohol and they just never reach their full God-given potential and do all the great things that God has given them to do. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So changing the diet is going to give the other adrenal gland a chance to actually work properly. I wish I could tell a person that if I give you supplements for the adrenals to help rejuvenate them, they're not really going to take when you're smoking cigarettes and you're eating junk food.
Right. My other question would be, let me tell you, I've learned so much about my dad in the last 24 hours because he's a very private man.
Well, everybody from that generation usually is. They just are. They don't... Have you ever heard your dad really complain?
No, I haven't.
No, he doesn't. But isn't that remarkable, though? That's like such a remarkable quality.
I wonder who I get it from. No.
What is that supposed to mean? Okay, moving along.
So I found out yesterday, too, that he has an aortic aneurysm in his belly. And I was trying to Google it last night, and I have this thing where I've been lied to my entire life, so I don't really know what to believe anymore.
Well, what'd you come up with?
Well, it was saying to take vitamin C and vitamin E and some B vitamins, and then a few other things that I have some words that I couldn't even pronounce. But I was trying to figure out how to help either shrink it back down or some way to just keep it stable. I'm not ready for my dad to cross over anywhere yet.
No, you still need him desperately in your life, don't you?
I do. So I mean,
somebody's got to help you with your attitude, right?
Yes.
That was a joke. I'm just teasing you. You have a great attitude. I've always liked talking to you.
Well, thank you.
Well, you do realize if you were pulled up to an intersection and you saw a car right beside you and you looked out and saw the front tire had a huge bubble on the tire, you know, where the tire kind of breaks down and has a big bulge on it?
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably tap on your window and say, "Hey, did you know your tire's bad? I mean, it may blow at any second." Well, that's kind of what an aneurysm is. And you want to make sure that doesn't tear and break. And so I do not know under these circumstances if it's going to be able to shrink back down to normal. I wish I could say it, but the damage has been done. But the second part of your statement is, I wonder if we can help maintain it. Now, that I like very much. Now, on one level, I can look up articles on what is the exact root cause of an aneurysm. And some of the hits that I get, it can be related to an autoimmune condition. And what that means is, under the right circumstances, and what I mean by that is, if there's a certain amount of toxicity or nutrient deficiency, or if you're eating something that you, sometimes I'll ask a person a question, are you eating anything that you shouldn't be eating, or are you putting anything in your body that's not in your best interest? And they'll say yes, and I'll say, well, what is it? And they'll say, well, I'm doing this. And I'm going, well, we need to do something about that. So under certain circumstances, the arteries will just start to break down. I mean, the collagen, the tissues, the endothelium, they'll all just break down, and that's called disease. So you can see why I would want him to eat. I don't expect anybody to be perfect. I mean, I'm not perfect.
Me neither. Far from it.
Now, wait just a second. You're going a little bit far. You're close to perfect. But, yeah, nobody's going to do perfect all the time. But if you can do pretty well, like 90% of the time, that's kind of in the window where you have healing take place. And you create the environment for your body to repair tissue. So if I asked you, has God designed a body that can repair itself? Well, the answer is yes, a lot of times. Now, sometimes a person goes past the point of no return, but I tell you what, anything that comes to the blood vessels, man, high quality protein is probably the top of my list. Number two, making sure that we get plenty of good, wholesome, clean fat. But you've got, the only way that I know to do this that I've ever seen work is you've got to drastically reduce the intake of refined sugars and junk food. Oh, I don't mind sugars as long as your father's eating stuff like blueberries and strawberries and raspberries and cherries and blackberries.
Exactly. Now, also, another thing I learned was he has calcification of his heart.
Well, and that's really the same. It's the same thing as everything else.
Mm-hmm.
As a general rule, any structure in the body that's chronically irritated and chronically inflamed, your immune system's going to calcify it.
Right.
And so, have you ever heard of a medical school called Southwestern Medical School? It's over by Fort Worth.
Yes.
I've had more people tell me that if there's ever a time you're in Dallas and you got to go to the emergency room, like I would choose, it had to be an emergency. They say the Southwestern emergency room is by far and away the best. But they're really a great medical facility, and they do a lot of research. Well, years ago, they did a study based on, they were able to remove arteries, you know, major arteries to the heart and the carotid arteries, blood supply to the brain, from people that just passed away. And so what they could do is they could keep these arteries alive in kind of a, If I say petri dish or test tube, just use your imagination, they could keep them alive. And they tried everything they could to see if they could cause calcification. Guess what caused calcification? Excessive, yes, exactly. Excessive production of insulin. There wasn't anything that produced calcification of the heart or the arteries faster than a hormone called insulin. And see, that's what I meant by the mitochondria earlier. What if the vast majority of all the food that your dad ate, or you ate, or I ate, was going to be relatively low in carbohydrates? I mean, you could go to the grocery store and you can get a big honking bag of what's called riced cauliflower, which is very low in calories, but it's very nutritious, so you can kind of fill up with it. But what does it have? Like maybe 80 calories at the most. It's like next to nothing compared to, you know, going out to eat. But if you can lower the carbohydrate, then you can stop all the insulin excess. It's just under the present circumstances, the body is overproducing insulin. That's one of the reasons why I like to measure fasting insulin. I always think I can get a person well if I can get it to 5 or below. If it's above the number 5, it's really hard to get a person well or to reverse a disease. So yeah. Basically, if your dad ate meat and vegetables, he probably would love it if you would bring over to the house today some fresh zucchini and some rice cauliflower with butter on top of it with a salmon filet or chicken.
He probably would.
No, but that's what I would aim for. What do we do to get all the calcification? Because it's basically just turning his heart into a stone. What I want is, can I just do my fantasy world talk right now? What I want is your dad to grow a bunch of brand new blood vessels and arteries that can carry lots of oxygen and blood. Man, if we could do that, we'd be in business. Do you know what carbon dioxide is?
Yes.
Okay, one study that I read showed that if a person put some, it's called mouth tape. That's not the same as duct tape or Gorilla tape, but it's still, but it's a tape that's designed that you can put it over your mouth at night so you don't have any chance to breathe through your mouth. You only breathe through your nose. But it's shown that if you can increase your carbon dioxide levels at night, then also what happens is you start saturating the heart muscle and the brain with so much more oxygen. So I know it sounds low tech. It's just called nasal breathing, breathing through your nose at night. How's that for a high tech solution? So if a person could, well, I mean, if we had a video camera on him, there's always a chance that his mouth may come open at night, or your mouth or my mouth. And that's just not in our best interest. If you can keep your mouth closed all night long and only breathe in, you're inhaling and then exhaling only through your nose, then you start to repair all the arteries in the heart. I'm telling you, when the human body is sufficiently saturated with oxygen, there's no such thing as a feeling of anxiety or panic. They feel great. Usually what they'll say is, man, I wish I could feel this way all the time. I feel amazing on the inside. I like the way that I'm thinking. So,
yes,
so just putting tape over the mouth. Actually, I changed my mind. I think if we wrapped about 2 rolls of duct tape, I think we could do it. Now, you know I'm just teasing. We would never do that to your dad. Hey, your dad's a great guy. I like your dad a lot.
Yes.
So he's got to make sure that he masters the art of nasal breathing. He could actually, one of the breathing techniques that really, really works for what your dad's dealing with is called buteyko breathing. It's different, but it trains your body on simple breath-holding techniques, but man, do they work. It's also a way that you can reset your nervous system. Have you ever seen somebody have a panic attack before?
Yes.
It ain't pretty, is it?
No.
I wouldn't wish one on anyone.
They're quite terrible, actually. I've suffered from them.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, if you look up buteyko breathing, I think that would be a tremendous blessing to you and your father also. So what we have to do is we have to change the health of his soil. We're going to put better fuel into him. We're going to give him more nutrients. What we want to do is saturate his body with as much oxygen as possible. Do you think your father would be agreeable to going on walks every day? Or, you know, the technique that's been shown to work is called slow jogging. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, sir.
If a person were to go to YouTube and type in research on the technique called slow jogging, man, it's unbelievable. Always think, if a person wants to live, that's the technique they should do. It's incredible. And it's not stressful to the body at all. It's not like regular jogging or running is.
Right. Now, with him having the emphysema and the COPD because of all the years of his smoking, is he going to lose his breath really quickly trying to do this?
Well, I think the first order of business is just understanding what I'm after here, or my very first goal, is to do some form of exercise. And in his case, it just may start out with slow walking. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
But the number one goal is, while he's walking slowly, he's got to move at a pace where he only breathes in the nose and out the nose. So if he goes so quickly, or if he ups the pace and starts running, and then he's got like this severe oxygen debt, and he's going, man, I've got to breathe through my mouth if I want to live. Well, that's not what I want. So what we want to do is we want to try to train the body with an expectation that we can improve the aerobic capacity. If I'm not mistaken, the number one predictor of how long a human being lives is going to be VO2 max. How much oxygen can we get to saturate the body and the body can hold on to and use? So his first order of business is only walking while he can keep his mouth closed.
Okay.
I may not have said that well, but do you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Only nasal breathing. Inhale and exhale through the nose only, because we're wanting to retrain the body to hold more oxygen. Now, that's a ticket right there. That's when a human being starts feeling really, really good. But if you don't, so let me give you a different example. Let's just say that there's a woman that goes to the gym all the time, but when you watch her breathe, she only uses her chest to breathe, and she never uses her abdomen or diaphragm. So most people that keep their abdomen locked down tight because they want their waist to appear, you know, not large, man, they're just setting themselves up for a panic attack and anxiety. But if you don't have enough oxygen, you're going to be exhausted all the time. If you have plenty of oxygen, you're going to feel very, very energetic and like lots of energy, which is what I want and what you want and what he wants.
Absolutely.
So I would say let's retrain the breathing. There's a technique called Buteyko breathing. It comes from like a Russian doctor. It's pretty cool stuff, actually. It's very interesting research. You could go to YouTube right now and you could type in demonstration of a Buteyko breathing exercise. You can come up with about 4 zillion videos probably.
Yes, I have Googled it because I've been practicing it myself.
Oh, good job. There's one simple breathing technique that I think that works is just slowly inhaling for 6 seconds. Hold it for 2 seconds. And if you exhale 1 second longer than you inhale, so that would be 7 seconds out, now we're tapping into the parasympathetic nervous system. That's called healing and rejuvenating and repairing. If somebody's in fight or flight all the time, and they're producing too much adrenaline and too much cortisol, too much blood sugar, too much insulin, that's all the problem right there. That's going to keep you from healing. Too much insulin and blood sugar is just going to cause calcification of the heart and the arteries. But if you did the breathing exercises, you could actually retrain the body to be more relaxed and to heal. And you would also have the benefit of saturating your body with more carbon dioxide and more oxygen, which means great endurance and stamina, energy.
Right. Well, I think that's all the questions I have for you today. Like I said, I was just worried about him and trying to get him over this hurdle he's hit.
Well, thank goodness he has you as the source of great love and encouragement. Way to go. You're like a great daughter.
Thank you. I appreciate everything you do for us, Dr. Morgan.
Well, you're welcome. And thanks a bunch. I'm rooting for you. Give my best to your father.
I sure will. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. There is a phone line officially open at 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507 if you want to call and ask a question. I hope somebody does, because I'd kind of like to get a drink of water. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for your call.
Well, and I wrote down that breathing method that y'all just talked about, which is I haven't heard that name, but whenever I take a tub bath and I'm real tired, I always turn over on my tummy and I blow my breath out real slow in the water. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of like what I do, which feels great, you know. It's just because just let the air go out normally. That seems like it takes 30 seconds.
Oh, that's great. You're doing. Hey, you know what I've read before, and this may sound nutty, but if you're taking a hot bath, mm-hmm. If you dumped a cup of baking soda into it, now that actually helps increase your oxygen also.
Okay,
I'm going to do that. Or if you said, I am super, super tired, I need more oxygen, that's where you could take, like, man, a teaspoon or 2 teaspoons of Arm & Hammer baking soda and put it in a glass of water and drink it, and you'd say, oh, my goodness, that's amazing. I have more energy now and stamina.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's true. I've heard somebody tell me that about baking soda. And is that better than Epsom salts?
Well, they're two different mechanisms, but the baking soda is for you're trying to gently alkalize your body so you can hold more oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most precious elements in all the universe is called oxygen. So if you can hold more oxygen, you tend to express the highest, most radiant levels of health.
Yeah, I believe that. I know because I've healed a lot of people, you know, with problems putting them in hyperbaric chambers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, anyway, that just reminds me, I have varicose veins, and so I wear these support stockings, but my calves hurt at night. I take things off, and they hurt, and I thought, well, is that because of my varicose veins, or because these stockings aren't that tight, or do I just need to walk more, or is it because I'm on a slab floor for the last 5 years versus the last 36 years? And
yeah, it's all the above.
All the above.
Yeah, but can I add one thing to the mix?
Please.
I promise you, in no way am I trying to be critical. I want to come up with a solution. But let me do the two positive things first, and I'm going to give you one negative. Number one, anytime that I've seen a person with varicose veins, I try to be very direct and honest with them. And they say, how long does it take? How long do I have to walk every day in order to correct this? And I usually say, probably a year and a half. So I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. So if a person set their mind that they were going to walk every day, that is definitely one of the things that I can look up and I can find research that it helps correct and remove varicose veins.
But it might take a year and a half.
Yeah.
To see results.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be totally lying to you if I said, hey, you just give this a week and a half, they'll be gone. Yes, you would call me back and say it did not work out the way that you promised. Okay, number.
I believe it.
Okay, number.
It can happen overnight, so it takes a while, you know.
Number two, I changed my mind right here. I'm going to go back to the negative. Now, on some level, if you have what's called toxicity in your body, it's going to come out through those superficial veins or the great veins of the legs. And so on some level, you've got a bit of toxicity. So let me talk about the solution. So if you've already got the idea that walking is one of the cures, and what does walking do? You greatly increase blood flow, and there's better circulation, and you carry more blood. As a general rule, actually not as a general rule, as a fact, the faster that blood moves through the body, the cleaner and the better working everything is. I'm not trying to get overly philosophical here, but nothing works right in the body unless you move.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, every cell needs a little bit of movement just to wake up and start living and doing the work that God designed it to. So,
I definitely believe that.
Yeah, it's just all these...
We're meant to move.
Yeah, exactly. So, if it were me, these are the things that I would look at. There's a unique type of herb. Sometimes it's called stone root. Have you ever heard of that before?
Stone. I've heard of stone crop, stone flower. I've never heard of stone root.
Yeah, stone root is one of the common names, but the one that I probably go with the most, the more common name, is called Collinsonia root.
Okay.
I watched a video on YouTube of a master herbalist that must have been 113 years old by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was up in the mountains or the hills of Kentucky, and he was going through the woods, and he was looking for stone root. And, of course, I've never seen that plant before. But when he pulled it up, he hit the root with a rock, and I think it broke the rock. Now I know why they call it stone root. It's just hard as a rock. And I think it's kind of hard to grow, but it's available. But Collinsonia root, that is definitely one of the herbs that you might want to prayerfully consider. If there was a condition with veins bulging and they're letting go of their elasticity because of toxicity.
Well, they're not that bad. They don't bulge, but that my legs just ache. And I know that when I, do a lot of deep bends and I move around, it helps. Or just elevate my feet. But, that's not going to cure it, of course.
I know, but what's your takeaway from those two things? The more that you move, you get better venous blood flow, and the symptoms go away, right?
Right, and especially if I go out and put a little stool next to my rainwater buckets in the wintertime and stick my legs in the cold water.
Noelle, that's smart.
That helps, too.
Well, Collinsonia root is one of the herbs that you might use to heal the venous system.
Is it hard to find?
No, it's not at all. I use it all the time.
Is it Collinsonia, Collinsonia?
Yeah, it's like the word Colin and then Sonia.
Okay.
Sonia, just like you spelled.
Okay, I'm really continuing to call ask you about my husband because I've been taking WP thyroid or NP thyroid for about 10 or 12 years, and all of a sudden my husband is cold, and he sleeps with try to keep his lips closed, and he's just his hair is not falling out. I mean, he's comes out on top like his daddy did, but.
Well, maybe he's got very poor circulation.
Well, they say his TSH in a matter of 6 weeks went from 12.4 to 60.2.
Yeah. Well, my goodness. Of course it is. What that means is his pituitary gland, which produces that hormone, thyroid-stimulating hormone, is screaming at the top of its lungs for the thyroid to get to work. And so what this would mean is if there was a blood test and they measured TSH at, can I just say 60?
They did.
So the next one they would measure is called T4. So if T4 is like in the normal range, like at, let's just say 1.6, that means the thyroid is underactive. It's not responding at all to the thyroid.
I just didn't want him to start on a medication that really... if he didn't really need it.
Well, here's the whole problem. The whole problem is, what's at the root cause of the problem?
I know. I wonder.
Well, does your husband drink alcohol?
No. Very, very, very rarely.
Does he have what's called insulin resistance?
Well, he's gained weight over the last several years. And he'd like to lose. And... his knees are so bad it's hard for him to... he can't walk a lot, can't take a long walk. And
well, the whole reason why I'm asking this is because the liver seems to be at the ground central station for fixing all these problems. So even if the thyroid is working right, it's still the job of the liver to convert the hormones into the active T3. That's the liver.
What I was wondering, is there a way that he's not be able to absorb it, if it's... after all of a sudden we get this change.
Well, I would say probably 90% of all thyroid problems are really based in the liver not working right. And so I know I'm making simple statements here, but one of the main roles of the liver is to keep all your hormones in perfect balance. It's like a hormone balancing machine. I know the liver's not a machine. I just kind of said that. So there's got to be clues. And so if his knees are in bad shape, that's not good. That means he's going to have a whole bunch of problems happen, but usually insulin resistance. I mean, he can go to the doctor very, very easily and say, could you measure my uric acid levels? Can you please measure my ferritin levels? Can you measure thyroid peroxidase or look for thyroid antibodies? There's got to be something that's causing it, but they can do a comprehensive metabolic panel and at least test, you know, liver enzymes to see if they're elevated or not. That doesn't give you a lot of information, but it might. They could do a lipid panel.
Comprehensive
metabolic panel.
Metabolic, okay.
Yeah.
As in metabolism.
Yeah, so if they measured his insulin, I know I'm going back two places, but if insulin's above the number 5, let's just say his insulin levels come back at 17, then what his body's doing is he's screaming in his liver to cram as much fat as he can in the liver. And when you cram fat in the liver, that's called a fatty liver, the liver don't work right.
He does like to swim. And so
you can tell me all these things, but all I have is what you're telling me is the TSH has gone from 12 to 60.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Well, he had it tested twice, and we said, what? How can it be like this? You know, he said, past years it's always been 1.4 or 0.9, yeah. You know, it's been in a normal range.
Well, is the doctor really concerned?
Well, he said, wait. He said, oh, I would take it. I would take, it's a PA. He said, I would take the Synthroid if I were you.
Did he ask him what is he? Well, if we don't address the root cause of the problem, yeah, you can take all the thyroid hormone replacements you want. But study after study shows that if a woman's taking over 100 micrograms of synthetic thyroid, she's asking for massive osteoporosis and bone loss. What is the number one? So the number one cause of bone loss in people, if you overdose a person on thyroid, you're going to wear their body up prematurely. The bones are going to turn over so fast you're going to lose them all.
Right.
It still goes back to the same question. Why is the thyroid out of balance? Is it an autoimmune disease? I don't know. So if he has an underactive thyroid, can't they test him for Hashimoto's? Can't they test him for thyroid antibodies? Do they even do that?
What do you do for Hashimoto's? No, they didn't test him for Hashimoto's. He said every other person that comes in here has a low thyroid. I said, really? We were talking to the PA just yesterday, and they said, yeah. He said, yes.
Well,
a lot of people. I said, over 60, it's very common.
Can I just interrupt? I don't like any of that.
Please.
I do not like what he's saying. I don't have anything against him at all. It doesn't even make sense. Okay, so why do they have an underactive thyroid? It's probably because either the liver. I have to go with what I know. And right now, I know a little bit about the human body. As we age, it breaks down. And since his knees are bad and he doesn't walk or exercise, besides, I mean, how often does he really swim?
Not very often.
Okay, so
why
would you even bring that up if he's just swimming once a week? That's not enough to probably really do anything.
We need to pick it up. We can pick it up.
Okay, so what are we going to do to figure out what the cause of this massive thyroid issue is? I would say, and I'm just telling you what I would do if it were me, go and request test. Have him do thyroid antibodies. Do a test called TPO. Measure T3. Measure free T3. Measure reverse T3. Do a comprehensive metabolic panel where we can measure liver enzymes. Do a lipid panel. So we can find out what his body's doing with sugar. But if it were me, I would measure ferritin, I would measure uric acid, and I would also measure insulin levels. Those right there are going to get you a whole lot further than where you are as far as trying to get to the root cause of the problem.
And insulin, thyroid antibodies.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we need to go to an endocrinologist.
I never said that. I just said get those tests done. Okay, if you want, yes, you can go to an endocrinologist, but if you have to wait 6 months before you get an appointment, I would rather get results now and not just wait forever while more damage is taking place. But really, I'm really nervous about him. That's not normal to have a TSH of 60. I really do want to be helpful.
Up.
Well, that's bad. That's real bad.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your phone call. Sorry, we're out of time.
Thank you.
All righty.
God
bye-bye.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Take
you
care.
Too. Bye-bye.